Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us. That was the disciples John's words to Jesus today, representing the whole disciples, I think, from our gospel reading from Mark chapter 9. Here it is evident that the disciples had a certain zeal for Christ and his church, for that power to be isolated or concentrated to a certain group of people, just a certain people with a visible head, namely the Lord Jesus Christ, a leader. Perhaps, as Pastor said a bit ago, perhaps they were jealous. There's some jealousy at play here. If you're not with the disciples and Jesus, and yet you're doing powerful things in Jesus' name, that may seem like stealing. I don't know if they had patents in that day, legal patents, but I suppose if they could get patents, maybe they thought they could have gotten a patent on Jesus, then they could say, hey buddy, get your own Christ, Jesus. This is our Christ. You can't be doing that. Or perhaps they had some good intentions. Some good intentions. If you want to claim Christ as your own, you must take your place next to us and follow him. After all, this Jesus called us to follow him. If you're not literally walking with us, following us, then you're either not of him like we are, or you could be playing with fire. You might mess it up. You might do something wrong. You might make things worse for all of us because there's already a lot of confusion about who Jesus is. So stop doing what you're doing. Jesus, however, in the text, he has a different view of the situation. He says, he responds to John and the disciples' zeal, saying, do not stop the man casting out the demons, for the one who does a mighty work in my name will not soon be able to afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you that whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will no means lose his reward. Here it is clear that Jesus thinks it's okay. It's okay. Jesus wants good works to be done in his name. Wherever mighty works are done in Jesus' name and God the Father gets the credit, that's okay. It's good for God's kingdom. God himself wants Jesus' name to be the name above every name that is named. May every good work, everywhere, be done in his name, so that God is well pleased. You know, this week I listened to NPR, a morning edition. There was an interview of a man named James Elroy. He's an author, a very good author. And the morning edition author was saying, you know, you're very good at what you do. Who do you write for? He asked the question. And I really liked James Elroy's response. I don't know if he's a Christian or not, but it was a good response. He says, well, I write for God, I write for Beethoven, and he goes on and on. And the interviewer interrupted him, wait a minute, you said you write for God, what do you mean by that? And he goes, oh, I'm a devout believer, and I have this gift to write, and I haven't actualized this gift or worked on it on my own. Now, I suppose you could think he's bragging, or he's lying, but I think there was a certain ring of truth to his words, and I thought it was true. If we don't need to stop someone who gives credit for their work for God, he didn't credit Christ, obviously, but he says for God. A question for you this morning. Who are you working for? Who are you writing for? In our politically sensitive world, are we too afraid to admit that what we work for, who we work for, is God? Are we willing in humility to say, I believe and I do all things that are good for my Lord Jesus Christ? When people see well done work, they want to know, how come? What motivates you? How come you're such a good football player? Well, answer, well, God's given me a body for it, and I do it for Christ. How come you're such a good accountant? Well, God's given me a brain, and I do it for Christ. How come you're such a good actor or singer? Well, I do it for Christ. Why are you so good at flipping burgers? And why do you show up on time just like your boss wants you to? Well, I do it for Christ and the people who are hungry and need to be fed. Your motivation matters. Your witness about what you do and who you do it for matters to God and to other people. Don't be afraid to tell others that what you do in the name of Christ. And notice what Jesus says here in the text earlier. It doesn't say you have to be the most grandiose worker of all things in the world. You don't have to be a doctor or a pastor or a lawyer to do good works in Jesus' name. He says, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will no means but lose his reward. When you give a cup of cold water to drink because you belong to Christ, that's the important thing. Belonging to Christ, doing because you belong. When you belong to Christ, we work for him in all that we say and do. When we belong to Christ, God sanctifies and cleanses our works so that they are indeed good works for God's purposes. If you change your baby's diaper, if you pick up some trash someone left in the hallway, if you take a nap because you need to get rested up for that volleyball game, for your teammates' sake, well, that's all good works in Jesus' name. Why? Because we belong to Christ. Likewise, if you have some time to volunteer at the rescue mission or something more grandiose, if you have time to volunteer at a good Christian school, do you know any? If you have time to volunteer at a hospital or a summer camp for the physically disabled, that's a good work in and of itself as far as it goes, but it's only really good to God because you belong to Christ. I want to address just the Lutherans here for a minute. This is an application of the law just for the Lutherans here. It's reflected in this. How come other Christians can preach about Jesus in ways that sound so Lutheran? Who taught them the small catechism? How dare they lay claim to our Jesus? Now I want to address all the non-Lutherans here today, an application for you. How come those Lutherans sometimes can preach God's word just like my pastor or priest does at my own church? Jesus taught us in the text today that the church is bigger, and rightly so, than any one group on earth. Luther realized it was bigger than the Roman Catholic Church to which he belonged. He knew, we know, that the main thing for us is to belong to Christ, to call upon his name, the triune God who calls all hearts to believe. And we believe because the Holy Spirit has worked faith in those who have heard the gospel, that Jesus Christ has come into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The differences in our churches are still important, need to be worked on, discussed, debated, worked out in love. But the good news is that the church in Christ's name exists, where he is calling and gathering people under Christ's holy name. Where good is being done in his name, from the forgiveness of sins preached from the pulpit, or from the meal given out freely because someone was hungry and needed to be fed, wherever Christ's name is being honored and good being done for him, may we not stop them, but praise God and look forward to the day when we all visibly are one in the new heavens and the new earth. In one sense, the church on earth is visible right now. Lutherans believe that it's found wherever one finds the pure preaching of the word and the right giving out of the sacraments. After all, even in Jesus' day, you could find the visible group called the disciples, and you could find their visible head, namely Jesus Christ, God himself in human flesh, who was preaching rightly and instituting the sacraments rightly. And yet then and now, the church is also invisible. It is found wherever there is true faith, because someone knows that God is for them in Christ Jesus, that God's Son willingly gave his life on the cross to redeem us to make us his own, that he gave his life as a ransom for many. How can CARM, Knoxville Area Rescue Mission, started by Baptists and non-denominational Christians, how can they do good works in Jesus' name? Lutherans didn't start that group, although we do help and support it. What in Jesus' name are they doing? They are doing exactly what our Lord Jesus didn't stop in today's text. For the one who is not against us, Jesus says, is for us. In our neighborhood surrounding First Lutheran here, there are probably five churches within one or two blocks. The closest one being right over here, the Living Waters Church. They're right here. Then we have the St. James Episcopal Church over here. Then we have Oakwood Baptist Church, just a block or so over there. Probably two or three more in the neighborhood. Should we go and stop them? No. Should we ignore them? No. We ought to speak the truth in love. But wherever God's word is being rightly preached and wherever good is being done in Christ's name, we ought to praise God, our Father above, all of us. Moses, as God's spokesperson in the Old Testament today, said it well. Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them. God is not limited to doing all of his good works here at First Lutheran or Fourth Presbyterian. Truth be told, from Scripture, he can even use evil people to do God's will, to bring about good. So, ha, take that, you evildoers. What you meant for evil, God meant for good. Bad for you, but good for God, and good for us. And for all of us gathered here today, isn't it good to know that the church in Jesus' name is bigger than your church, no matter which Christian church you belong to? With all the faults throughout Christendom, Lutheran, non-Lutheran, Catholic, Orthodox, Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, with all the faults of upholding the truth in the spirit of love and faithfulness, God's word is still going out. And people are hearing and believing the crucified and risen Christ Jesus and the forgiveness of sins. He is one in his name for us. One thing is for sure, it relieves us from thinking that we have to do it all ourselves, that it's all up to us. We should feel it most especially in our hearts. We should be able to go to sleep at night in peace, knowing that God's word works, and it will not fail him. If it looks as though the world is falling apart and rent asunder by schisms and divisions here and there, have no fear, little flock. Remember the most important thing. You belong to Christ. Sleep well, knowing that God is for you in Christ Jesus. Then wake up and work faithfully out of love for him. Even work as if it were up to you that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Work hard during the day and sleep at peace at night, knowing that God alone is able to will and to work in you all that is pleasing to him, because you belong to Christ. You are his. You are his people, and nothing, neither height nor depth, neither angels nor demons, nor any power, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.